I think most people know this, going through the book of Hebrews. Not that we'll do it every week, but we're going to do it probably most weeks over the next, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 months, whatever. And just by way of review, we've already looked at chapter 1, and we saw that there, chapter 1 was devoted to just really establishing that the Son of God, and who's the Son of God? Jesus Christ, that the Son of God is supreme. He is God. He's to be worshiped. He's the creator of the universe. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He's far superior to all the angels. That's the message of chapter 1. Then in chapter 2, the first 4 verses, we looked at this a few weeks ago, we have a warning. In fact, this is the first of 4 warnings in the book of Hebrews. And basically, the heart of the message is, in light of who the Son of God is, God Almighty, we must pay careful attention to what's being said about him. And in the book of Hebrews, we're going to be talking a lot about the Son of God, about Jesus, and who he is. And I know by the time we finish the book of Hebrews, our view of Jesus is going to be so much higher. And we're going to be exalting him and worshiping him in a way we've never done before. So the warning, first part of chapter 2, is we got to pay attention. We've got to be careful not to drift away from the things he's told us and the things he's going to say. And I think one of the things we kind of mentioned was in order to drift, you know, drifting so easy, all you have to do is nothing. And we're usually pretty good at that, aren't we? You know? And that is what, unfortunately, a lot of Christians do. We just kind of easily drift. But we've been given such a great salvation that we really must pay attention. And Hebrews is going to describe this great salvation in such a way that we cannot help but to serve and obey and honor him. So let's pay close attention. Okay, today, Hebrews 2, just a few verses, 5 through 9. But he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. But one is testified somewhere, saying, what is man that you remember him? Or the Son of Man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. And in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all the things subjected to him, but we do see him who is made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Let's pray. Father, your word is so powerful. It's so full of truth. It can do so much to us as far as inspiring us, correcting us, putting us on the right path. And so, Lord, we ask that your word would speak to us this morning. And that's our simple prayer. Amen. Okay, you know, when we look at today's world, we can seem so insignificant here on earth, so helpless, so powerless. Now, remember who the book was written to. A small group of mostly Jewish believers. And they were gathered together in probably just a handful of house churches. And they were facing some severe persecution, weren't they? Under the emperor of Nero. I mean, he just did horrific things, especially to Christians. And this was already coming. And you could just imagine how powerless they felt, how helpless. Because these were probably groups, house churches, that were in Italy, very close to Rome. And, you know, they probably, you know, I was trying to think, what did they probably feel like? And the only description I could come up with is they probably felt like a few drops of water being pushed around by the mighty waves of sea. You know, I mean, they can't really control the waves. They're just a few drops. And it's easy at times for us here in this earth to feel that way. For us, too, in the 21st century, we look around the world. We see a world spinning out of control, don't we? There's ungodly, even wicked leaders everywhere around us, all around the world. They serve their own desires, their own greed. Things like integrity and morality and value for life is being attacked in all directions. Now, when I say value for life, I'm talking about from the womb, you know, the unborn. There's very little value in our society anymore to children, you know, our children around the world, to the elderly, to those who are maybe physically or mentally impaired, the poor. People just have disregard for life. Morality, integrity, it's all being attacked. And it seems like we're so powerless to change it. Then we kind of look at the violence and the murder, the hate, the racism, the disregard for life. It's something that we read about, we hear about, and maybe we even see almost every day. Corruption around the world is on the rise. Even in countries where corruption wasn't that big 15, 20 years ago, it's affecting a lot of more modern nations now. The education system is crumbling. It really can't keep up with our changing world. There's environmental and climate concerns. More recently, there's been a steep rise in military weapons, especially on the part of Russia and China. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, China, we don't know if this is really true or yet not, but they're claiming they've got a weapon now that can be exploded in the oceans. This came out about 2 weeks ago, that can cause tidal waves that can go 100, 200 miles into the coast and just wipe out cities. Now, again, we don't know if that's true, but they're working on it. China's working on a cyber technology that can basically shut down all the satellites and all the wireless communication in one sweep. Now, again, that may not be completely. They may be boasting prematurely, but there's a rise. Iran now says it's got a weapon that the Israeli or the U.S. forces can't intercept. Just came out. These are all three things just in the last 2 weeks. And you think, wait a minute, we're helpless. Then there's the superbugs, you know, the bacteria, and these unexpected diseases that some people are saying they could erase all the medical advances in 2 or 3 years if they start hitting us. Substance abuse is so bad now in our country that for the first time in decades, our life expectancy here in the U.S. is actually dropped because people are dying. Now, we could go on and on, and everyone seems to champion their cause. Sometimes they're conflicting causes that cause a great polarization in our society, and not just here in the U.S. I know in Nicaragua, there's a lot of places that's happening. But I say all this not to kind of make us kind of feel down, but just to acknowledge, yeah, we live in a bad world, don't we? And we feel so powerless sometimes to do anything. We feel so insignificant, so helpless. Just like this group of Hebrews, this group of believers that the book of Hebrews was written to. So when you start reading this, these verses, the writer of Hebrews starts talking about our ultimate destiny for mankind. Well, for redeemed man, for those who are truly born again. He talks about our ultimate destiny, and he's reminding us we got to keep our eyes on that. And he quotes from Psalm 8, and he mentions three things here that I think are very important. One, he says, we are crowned with glory and honor. Now, in the beginning, back in the garden, God made us, what, in his own image, right? Now, that's been contaminated, but still, at the heart of who we are made in God's image to be like him. And that includes, among other things, that we will have honor and glory. Now, God's glory is powerful. And we don't have time to do a study in God's glory today, although I kind of like to. But God's glory is so intense that man, at least in this age, can't even look upon him. Remember, Moses once kind of said, Lord, I want to see your glory. And God said, there's no way. You know, you burned to a crisp, you know. You can't see my... And finally, he said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass by and you can see the backside of me. You know, at least get a little bit of my glory. A little bit later, Moses starts fellowshipping with God in the tabernacle. And that was, we're told in many places, that was just a shadow of God's glory. But it was still so strong that when Moses would come out of the tabernacle, his face glowed so much, they had to put a bag over his head for the first couple hours. And then finally it would kind of fade away. You know, that's the glory of God. And one day, heaven and earth are going to be filled with his glory. And we're going to be crowned with glory. And the bride of Christ, when Jesus comes back, it's going to be glorious, that is, full of glory. That's our destiny. That's who God has created us to be. Now, we may not see it now, but he has crowned us with glory and with honor. And when we walk through this world, we may see it crumbling beside of us, but we got to remember that our destiny is to be crowned with glory and honor. Now, also says, we are appointed over the works of his hands. The works of his hand? We are appointed. Actually, it says in one translation, we are appointed to rule over the works of God. Let's go back just for a minute to Psalm 8. Let's just read a couple verses. We'll probably read all of it a little bit later, but Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I like that. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. And then in verse 3 he says, when I consider your heavens, that means just the skies, the work of your fingers. You know, a little earlier, Judy was talking about the fingerprints of God being on the creation. It comes from this verse. You know, because his fingers did all this. It says, when I consider the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You put all things under your... under his feet. That's our destiny. And, you know, I like it when he says, when I consider the works of your hands. He was looking out at all the stars and the moons. That's what he says. And what David didn't know, this David wrote this, probably when he was out on some pasture outside of Bethlehem or something, but our planet goes around the sun, right? And we have other planets here too, don't we? And in our galaxy, there are more suns with perhaps other planets going around. Do you know how many suns there are, how many stars there are in our galaxy? 100,000 million. That's a lot, isn't it? 100,000 million. There's not even a number that, you know, like billion, trillion, that can even say that. It just keeps going. Just keep adding zeros. That's in our galaxy. And there's some other galaxies, not just ours. In fact, you know how many galaxies there are? Another 100,000 million galaxies that we know of. That's as far as we can kind of get. I mean, my mind can't even comprehend that. It's the work of his fingers. And we, the redeemed, part of our destiny is to rule over the earth and heavens one day. I mean, talking about a destiny. You know, some people kind of say, yeah, it's going to be like it was in the garden. You know, where there's not going to be any sin. We're going to rule over the animals. It's going to be more than that. It's going to be more than just ruling over a garden. It's going to be ruling over the earth and the heavens. We can't even understand that. And guess what? It's going to be a righteous rule. Because Jesus, we're going to be ruling with him. That's our destiny. And yes, we may see corruption and racism and politicians doing things that we don't like. We see the world spinning out of control. But one day, we will rule, you know, and it'll be with Jesus. It won't be in ourselves. And that is amazing. And there'll be no more curses, no more Satan, no more kingdom of darkness, stirring up hatred. We'll have full redemption then. We'll be totally free from sin and from the flesh. We'll have new bodies. That's our destiny. And it's important to know these things. And it's important to think about these things. So many Christians, they don't even think about what's ahead. But it's our destiny. And the Bible talks a lot about this. Jesus talks a lot about it. He gave whole parables talking about what was going to happen. Like the parable of the minas, for example. And basically he was saying that if we're faithful in this age, which is really a short age, our faithfulness here will determine our responsibilities in the age to come. Now, I've kind of shared this before, but just to give you an idea, our age sounds like a long time. I was talking to someone, I think it was Ivana this morning, she was kind of saying, January seemed like a long time, didn't it? You know, and yeah, it does. A lifetime may seem like a long time. Maybe the history of this world and this age seems like a long time. But if you were to put this age compared to the next age, the eternal age, it'd be like drawing a line from this wall to this wall, and we're going to put one little dot there. And even that's inaccurate, because it could be going all the way to Chile and all the way to the North Pole that way. And we're just one dot this age. And yet, what we do in this age really determines in a large degree, you know, our role, you know, in the age to come. So this is important. And I think the writer of Hebrews, he's reminding us that our ultimate, that we may see things going downhill, but our ultimate destiny is that, what? That, one, that we are crowned with glory and honor, and two, we are appointed to rule over the works of his hand, and three, all things will be put in subjection under our feet. In fact, verse 8, it says, he left nothing that is not subject to him. Nothing. And actually, this is really called our inheritance in many places in the New Testament. Most New Testament writers talk about our inheritance. That's our destiny. And our inheritance is the earth and the heavens. Now you might say, yeah, but I thought that was Jesus's. Yet it is. But it says very clearly in Ephesians, a little bit later on in Hebrews, other places, that he has decided to share the inheritance with us. It'd be like this. If all of a sudden I inherited a big ranch here in Colorado of 2,000 acres with all these houses on it, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to share it with all my brothers and sisters here at Emmanuel Fellowship. And everyone would say, yeah, that, now you're talking, you know. And I would even go so far to say, in fact, I'm going to even put it on the deed that you know that you're in, you know, you're on the deed. That's what Jesus does for us. You know, and we'll get more into that a little bit later in Hebrews, but that's the inheritance that he's given to us. So when we look around today and see our world, take heart, one day it's going to be different. And don't focus on the evildoer. And certainly don't let the evildoers discourage us. Let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And let me just, I think it's ties into this very well. It says, starts off, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers. Because sometimes it seems like they're getting their way, doesn't it? For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noon light. Then verse 9. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will what? Inherit the land. Yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more. And you'll look carefully at his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Doesn't this make you feel good? Doesn't this give you heart? You know, hope and like, hey, you know, I can get through this. Verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. Forever. That means it doesn't end. 22, for those blessed by him, by the way, that's the redeemed, that's us, will inherit the land, and those cursed by him will be cut off. Verse 29, the righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Verse 34, wait for the Lord. That's really important. And keep his way. That's important. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. You will see that day. You know, it may not be next year. It may not be in the next 15, 20 years. But again, in light of the next age, getting back to that speck, we're just that little speck here, right? But it's important that we keep his ways, we wait patiently, cultivate faithfulness, trust in him, and don't fret ourselves because of the evildoers and the wicked. We will inherit the land. So the third thing that Hebrews 2 says is that all things will be subjected to us at one time. Now, Ephesians talks about how all things will be given to Jesus to be subjected under his feet, and then he gives it to his church. That's us. That's our destiny. So, you know, this is kind of a short passage in Hebrews, but I like it. And I like that Psalm 8, you know. Now, then we see two buts. The first one is, and they're both powerful. But now, this is verse 8, The last part, but now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. So we can talk about ultimate destiny, but we got to remember we don't see it yet, do we? We don't. You know, and after sharing about this ultimate destiny that we have, the writer of Hebrews says, yeah, but I want to remind you, we don't see it yet. You know, because we have been made for a little while lower than the angels. And we're still in that in a little while. But in a little while, it's going to pass. And until it passes, we may feel like we can't do much. But remember, our destiny is to rule and to reign and to be crowned with honor and glory. And then in verse 9, he gives us another but. The next sentence, he says, first he says, but we do not yet see all things subjected to him, but we do see him who is made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. I like that. Yes, we're not there yet, but we do see Jesus. And by the way, this is the first time in the book of Hebrews that the writer actually mentions Jesus' name. Before now, it's the Son of God, Son of God. Now he shifts and he says, but we do see him who is made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, the name that is above all names, that is exalted above all power and glory. That's our Jesus. And he's going to start talking more about what Jesus has done. Now, maybe we should kind of say this too, that Jesus is leading the way. He's already been made below the angels. He actually became man, didn't he, when he came to earth. But that was a temporary thing. And then he was crowned with glory and honor. So he's leading the way. In fact, in the next verse, we'll get there next week, but it talks about the leader or the author of our salvation. And literally, it means the captain of our salvation. And so the captain who's leading his brothers and sisters, that's us, leading the church, he's paved the way. He's already walked this earth. He knows how. He knows it's kind of horrible. I mean, he was rejected. He was spit upon. He was cursed. He was actually killed, crucified. He was tortured. He knows how it is. And he's leading us along the way. He's first leading us while we kind of come here, and then he's going to lead us into the next age, to our ultimate destiny. That's what he's doing. And we'll follow. We have to follow him, our captain. And as we follow, we're going to see that he's leading us to ultimate destiny. And you know something else he did? He said, as he kind of gathers us around, he says, okay, we're going to go on a journey here. We're going to be kind of, you know, below the angels for a while. It's going to be a tough world. But he says, I'm going to go ahead and give you something that you need for this journey. Is it called eternal life? And he gave us all eternal life, you know, that are following him. And so that means even if we die here, it doesn't really make any difference. We just kind of get to that next stage a lot quicker. So he's kind of given us that eternal life. And now he's training us, because that's what a captain does. But anyway, we could talk about that more next week. Let's go back to Psalm 8. Because it's a beautiful song. Remember I told you the first week that the book of Hebrews quotes the Old Testament more than any other New Testament book. In fact, sometimes about half the chapter is just quotes. That's because he's writing it to Jewish believers. He wants them to know that, hey, our faith started back there. It's rooted back there. But now in Jesus, it's been made complete. Psalm 8. Oh, Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. That's our destiny. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, all thousand millions of them, you know, which you've ordained. What is man that you take thought of him? You know, who are we? And the Son of Man that you care for him, yet you have made him a little lower than God. That could also be interpreted angels. That's how the writer of Hebrews does it. And you crown him with glory and majesty. Here it says not just glory and honor, but it says glory and majesty. He's crowned us with. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. He's still talking about mankind, redeemed man. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field. Now, we might not get excited about ruling over the sheep and oxen, but I'm sure that David was, and I think it kind of is symbolic of everything. The birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. And then again, he repeats verse 1. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And he's crowned us with majesty and glory as well. So as we continue the study of the book of Hebrews next week, let's remember our ultimate destiny, where we're going. Because so often it's so easy to get wrapped up in all the things that are going on and getting fretful about the evildoers and what they're doing. And I know some of you have recently kind of come from a country where there seems to be a lot of evildoers. Don't fret about it. Jesus, our captain, our author of our salvation, the leader, is leading us and we're following him. And he's taking us to a wonderful salvation and to a wonderful inheritance. Amen? Let's pray. Father, when we kind of read these words, Lord, it's just like, we kind of think like David, like, who are we that you would even kind of think of us this way? And that you've decided to raise us up, us who don't deserve anything, you've decided to raise us up to where we are actually going to be ruling with you over the works of your hands? Lord, we can't understand that. But Lord, we're extremely grateful and thankful, and we praise you. In fact, Lord, reading something like this just makes us want to kind of praise you every day. In fact, Lord, I guess that's the idea, isn't it? And we want to declare your majesty to the world around us that are just kind of caught in this mud of corruption and evil and hatred. Lord, your destiny for us is to raise us above all that. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that great salvation. We thank you for that great inheritance. Lord, the things that we're studying, as we saw in the first part of Hebrews 2, Lord, we want to pay close attention to them. And we don't want to drift from these things. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.